Curiosity. What are you so curious about?
Everything.
Mr. Curiosity.
Folks, this is the first time in history that three things are converging on the same date. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Inauguration Day, and Brown Bag Monday Day. Podcast.
Wow.
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 Huge.
Huge.
And there's a national football championship for college football with Notre Dame and Ohio State.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Wow. Things. This is special, and we're glad you're tuned in.
So try to carve 45 minutes out of your day to listen to this.
That's right.
We got digital director Sean. We got big shot John Meyer. We got big shot Nikki Kreis. And I'm here.
We're big shots.
We're big shots. We're all big shots.
I'll take it.
So if you got questions, remember brownbag@wnep.com. One word, brownbag@wnep.com. Don't force them, right? We don't want forced questions. We want natural curiosities. Things about the station. Things about Nikki's makeup style. Things about... Sean, what exactly he does here at WNEP. It could be anything.
Let's keep that vague.
I'm still trying to figure that out.
I just want that question. But I feel like Nikki said that in kind of a mean way. But she's still trying to figure out what I do here. Like the office space. What would you say you do here?
What would you say you do here?
My son has a position like yours at his company in Philly. I have no idea what he does. He works remotely. He tells me every time what he does, and I can't wrap my head around it. I'm like, what do you do? And then he'll tell me, and I'll be like, I don't know. I just don't know, because I'm used to – I'm the old school guy.
Just know this. I have nothing to do with whether or not your email works.
I know, because I do.
People here do ask you.
All the time. That's the one thing
you're borderline like tech guy. So you're
right. And I think that's the confusion.
I know.
Digital director does not include email.
Nope. That's IT.
That's IT. Yeah.
Other duties as assigned.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to get to your questions. I want, Nikki, will you be the representative to look into that bag and tell me what you see? Here's the problem.
Oh, there's a lot of questions.
There's a lot. In there. We're getting too many questions, and we have to zip through them, I guess.
But we want more.
We want more. Oh, yes. So we keep them coming. We'll do our best. We'll keep going. Maybe we'll have to do a podcast every week. Or we fake the public out. We do two in one recording and play it every week.
I think part of the problem is there are some really good questions that cause a really good conversation.
And that's part of it, too.
We don't just answer and move on. We get into it.
Yeah. But that's part of the beauty of this, don't you think?
You're driving, you're walking, you're folding laundry, you're listening, you're watching. Here we go. Nikki, entertain us, baby.
I already picked one. I'm so excited.
Entertain us. Are you fake excited or real excited?
I'm real excited. I hope it's a good one.
You even put on lip gloss for us.
I did.
The YouTubes. You can watch this, too, on the YouTubes.
On the YouTube.
Okay. Fred from Mayfield says, I wish people would stop thinking that they are saving the planet by buying electric vehicles. Electricity is still made mostly with fossil fuels. They are starting at the wrong end of the problem. Agree? Mindy's not here for this one.
I think we had another similar one.
So Fred is correct. Vehicles, I mentioned this last time, produce less than 5% of the world's carbon dioxide output. So cars aren't the big polluter. And if you think you're saving the world by buying an electric car, you're not. But you're saving gas, your money spent on gas. I forget what the question was.
He almost made a statement.
Oh, yeah. So
agree. Yeah.
I wonder how many people who buy an electric car are doing it for the environment. If they're doing it for the environment, it's not doing
probably hardly. A lot, don't you think?
The original selling point?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think so?
From a marketing standpoint, I think that originally they were marketed as like, look what a good thing you're doing by getting an electric car.
It's really not, but I think they're doing it to save money on gas. I think the average person spend about $2,000 a year on gas.
Wow.
I think it's even more than that now.
Is it?
I think so.
So if you buy an electric car, I think it's about a third to charge it up and get that same amount of miles. So if you spend $2,000, you know, a third of that, you're now, you know, close to...
I guess if you're doing it as a money-saving choice rather than an environmental one, there's
a better
argument to be made there, I guess.
Yeah, but then the argument there is they cost, I think, on average, $5,000 to $10,000 more than a gas car. So you're almost paying for it up front.
But you get that rebate and all that stuff?
You can see how this works. It's a formula that everyone has to figure out what works for them and what's best.
And the features, a lot of people like it because they have all the nifty you know, electric car features, yep, the self-driving and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know.
What Mindy found out about this, and we were all surprised, there's electric haters out there.
Yes. Yes.
They hate people, not hate, but they're very opinionated about people who buy electric cars. Like, oh,
she gets a lot of hate.
She gets a lot of hate. I'm surprised by that.
Me too.
I think, and this is just kind of in looking at how things have played out, I think some of it became political, like everything does.
Okay.
And when electric cars started coming out, there were some mandates, you know, that all vehicles had to be electric by a certain point.
And then, okay,
and some people don't like mandates of anything.
Yes, right. Yes.
So I think some of that played into it. You know, there's just a lot of factors that are going into this. But yeah, I think Mindy was surprised by that. And some people, it's not that, oh, you get an electric car or I still like to drive gas. Some people are angry about people getting electric cars.
I think that's a lot of issues in general where rather than just being like, I don't agree with your opinion on that and moving on, like it really bothers people to the point where they get angry about
it. It does.
Just don't do that thing or do your thing and what makes you happy and don't worry about what that person's doing.
But it says something about human nature. I think a lot of people are stubborn for change. Change is hard for a lot of people.
It is.
Don't make me change. And if you're changing, I don't like you. Get a gas engine.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely some of that.
There's a little bit of that, yeah. So, Nikki, good question. Good We're going to get this one. And I'm Nikki, by the way, has you have an electric blow dryer, I heard, right?
I do.
There you go. So she's
new technology.
High tech over here.
Because John still uses the old gas-powered
one. Yeah, gas-powered. Don't you hear that coming from the makeup room when I fire it up in the morning?
It takes way less time to dry his hair, though.
Yeah, yes, it does.
This is from Travis, a former NEPA resident.
Yeah, all right. Travis works in almost every week.
Yes. Have you guys ever bought something from an infomercial? If so, what was it? Fun fact, when I was in college, I ordered the workout program Insanity at 2 a.m. when I may or may not have been under the influence of alcohol. Have you ever bought anything from an infomercial?
Yeah, this is your question. You have to answer it first, big guy. I'm trying to think if I did.
I don't think I've bought anything specifically from an infomercial. I've definitely bought as seen on TV products.
Right.
Give us some of those.
I'm trying to think what they've been. I know I have.
They're all under the same umbrella.
One that pops into my mind was like that, like the retractable hose.
You know, oh, like, definitely.
Oh,
not from the infomercial. It wasn't like I picked up the phone, but like you said,
I got
saw
that
it in the
too.
Store and yeah. Like the, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what the problem is with the infomercials? A lot of these products are great, but you think they're not going to be great. You think you're being hoodwinked, don't you? Or no?
No, I think there's some of that.
Yeah. It's almost like I want to buy the infomercial stuff, and I'm thinking, no, I don't want to be that guy. But yet they're good products. And that's an example. The retractable hoses work. I love them.
Right.
Yeah.
But at first you're like, this is a gimmick. But they work.
A lot of those as seen on TV products do.
They do.
Some of them don't. Right. You know, it's a mix.
I bought once those, I don't know if it was an infomercial, but you ever see the furniture movers? They're just flat plastic discs.
Yeah, those.
They look like little minor dinner plates.
I have those.
And they're smooth on one. You put them under furniture and you push them and they work awesome. And that was an infomercial in the original. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You can move refrigerators, couches, those things
those
work.
Are great. We have those.
They work. And that's like an infomercial gimmick.
And you'd think when as soon as an infomercial starts, and obviously they run here on WNEP and people pay for them, that everyone would turn the channel. Like, why would I want to watch a half-hour program that's an infomercial? The ratings show people watch them. Not a big crowd, but there's definitely viewers that sit and watch these infomercials.
The Ron Popeil, whatever.
And, I mean, obviously the channels like QVC and Home Shopping, I mean, they've been hugely successful.
I've bought something off of QVC before.
You have?
Yeah, I bought one of those NutriBullets.
What? What?
Oh, those, is that like the little blenders?
Yeah, the things you make smoothies and stuff. It's like a blender. But
do you still use it? Do you love it?
I have it at my desk.
So you love this
thing?
I think we have one. Rennie makes a smoothie every day, and I think that's what she uses.
Yeah.
See, we can branch off on smoothies because all the females in my house also make smoothies.
They love smoothies.
Why do you love smoothies? Why do the girls like smoothies so much?
I don't know. I just do.
No, it's definitely a male-female thing. I'm not saying no guys do.
They're good. I'll have some, but I don't make a smoothie every day.
Yeah, I don't
forces her smoothies on me.
She's a smoothie pusher?
She's a smoothie pusher. So I'm like, Dad, here, get some veggies. And she'll mix like bananas and peaches and everything. And I'm like, yeah, this is great. And then I never have it again.
Once they throw kale in there and they're, nope, I'm out.
See, it's a good way to get your veggies.
I know it
you
is,
can put,
but
you can put stuff in there like kale.
Maybe that's what it is, because it's easier to hide the good things because you throw in like peanut butter,
spinach,
and like whatever covers the taste of the veggies.
Now, you mentioned Ron Popeil, because is he the original pitch man? Because who am I thinking that came after?
Not Ron. Well, Ron Popeil did a lot. Who's the other guy?
Where's the other guy? He was crazy.
Well, then there's the ShamWow guy.
The ShamWow guy.
Oh, the ShamWow guy. Definitely. Yeah.
And who's the other guy with the knives? He was...
What about Billy Mays?
I think
Willie
I
Mays.
Had a ShamWow.
Yeah, Billy May.
Did you?
I think I got a ShamWow. Maybe that
so
was
so maybe
up
that's
in
your original.
But did you buy it in a store, maybe?
I probably got it in a store and liked it.
Did the...
Oh, the Slap Chop.
Slap Chop.
I didn't get the Slap Chop.
I feel like before there was the infomercials, there was fairs that sold all these things, like the ShamWow. Like you went to the Bloomsburg Fair, the ShamWow thing, like it was... Chamois were in existence before the commercials. I think fairs may have birthed. I think the
probably
fairs may have birthed the infomercial.
And there's still those presentations at the fair.
Oh yeah,
that they're pushing products and have their displays and the little shows and everything like that still happens.
Yeah, they do it.
Maybe everything really started at the Bloomsburg Fair right here in Northeastern.
All
Central.
Of it began at the Bloomsburg Fair. Sean, you're up.
It's my turn.
Sean is up.
Let me switch first.
We got to get through these questions, Big Daddy.
All right.
I can't believe you have the furniture mover thing. You like that?
Yeah.
Those things are really nice.
I have the carry straps, the arms.
I have the carry straps, too.
That works. Mm-hmm.
You can hold kayaks in them in the garage. You hang them from the rafters.
The carry straps?
Yeah, that's what I have mine doing.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
This is perfect. This is a question for Nikki.
Oh, okay.
Listening to Nikki talk about our time at Cracker Barrel, I wonder if she got to meet Tina Fey when she came to Cracker Barrel. It was a Christmas many years ago. It is in her book, Derek from Mountaintop.
Well, did she come to the one in Wilkes-Barre, I'm guessing? But you didn't work
at that one. I worked at the one in Muncie.
But is this like an urban legend that everybody knows about, that Tina Fey went to a Cracker Barrel? I don't even know.
I've never heard
of
Tina Fey coming to Cracker Barrel.
Apparently it's in her book.
We do hear about when celebrities go to restaurants around here. But
I feel like I need to find in her book where she talks about Cracker Barrel.
So you didn't wait on Tina Fey.
I did not wait on Tina Fey.
Did you get any celebrities there or no?
No.
Well, now I'm wondering if Derek from Mountaintop is actually Tina Fey trying to get more books.
I hear she likes our podcast.
Yeah, she listens regularly.
Yeah.
So you know how you do the search. I just put in Tina Fey, and guess what it filled in?
Cracker Barrel.
This is a thing, yes, and now I'm clicking on it.
I love that when you Google something and you think you've thought of something that
autofills
are like, this is a thing.
I don't want to read all this, but I guess, there's something with Tina Fey and Cracker Barrel. She was there, and she now I don't know where it is. I can't seem to find that, but it's a thing.
Okay.
Any celebrities at Cracker Barrel for you? Come on.
No.
Like John Mayer, Tom Clark, no one like that ever stopped by?
No one like that ever stopped by.
Now that we're talking Cracker Barrel again, I'm going.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I got to go.
You're going.
Now, what do you like there you said last night? Like the
hash brown casserole.
Oh, the hash brown casserole.
It's been so long. Is there something like baked apples or something?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was there with the kids about 2 months ago. We're going back.
Yeah, it's been forever.
Yeah.
When people were ordering for you and you were the waitress, do they say exactly what's on the menu? That's always my struggle. Like, do I summarize what I want or do I have to say it word for word? Because my buddy, we still make fun of him today, after a night of drinking, we were in our 20s, we went to a diner and there was something there called the Tasty Ham Omelet. Tasty ham omelet, $12.99. And he said, I'll have one tasty ham omelet. And we're like, you don't have to say the tasty part. That's just their label for it. Just say you want a ham omelet.
You could just say the ham omelet. Yeah. I would know what you meant.
Well, what would you say instead of like, what is the one? Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity?
Yeah.
So what would you say? I want pancakes with fruit on them.
Yes. True. So,
sometimes you do feel like you got to say the whole name.
Exactly as it is.
But feel that's like I got to order what's here just to make sure I get the right thing.
I know, because restaurants make it so specific, but yet, you know, you feel like a fool saying some of the things.
A lot of people would point to it.
Point to it.
Oh, that's a way around it. Yeah. The old, I'll have the.
Wait, I think I'm a pointer.
You're a pointer.
I think when I order, I point at it.
A lot of people do.
Would you say tasty ham omelet and you would point right at it?
I might.
You say it and point just to really drive it home.
Was yours a real one, Sean? What is that called?
Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity, isn't it a thing?
So
it's like IHOP or Perkins
or
Denny's.
I don't
want
to have to say that.
It's a breakfast
I don't want to say that.
You could point to it.
So how many of your customers were pointers? A lot of them?
A lot.
Get out.
Yeah.
I find myself pointing more in a place because it's – I feel like generally we go to loud places only because then I feel like I'm not bothering anybody. So I feel like I point because I don't want to yell my order at them.
I've been at times where Rennie and I will go out to eat for like a special occasion and it's a nice restaurant and there's something that I want to get, but it has like some French name or something like that, and then I don't want to order it because I don't want to have to try to say it. Or that I'll just point at that. I'll have the chicken this.
Oh, God.
So Sean just handed me this. This is what restaurant?
IHOP.
I'm not going to ever ask her. Call me a fool. I'm not going to ever say Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity. I'm not going to order that ever.
You just wouldn't even order it because you'd have
because
to say
of that. I would go to something
else.
Would
you point?
I'm a summarizer.
He's a summarizer.
Are there a lot of summarizers?
Yeah.
Like, I'll have a turkey burger, even though they call it the California turkey burger. I'll just have a turkey burger. I'm not going to say California part. And I'm definitely not going to say Rudy Tooty, whatever that thing is.
Okay, final answer.
But you don't know anything about the Tina Fey.
I have never heard of that.
Okay,
I haven't either.
One
fell out. I will.
That could be an important one.
That might have been the best question ever.
Yeah, it could be. So I have them both here, ready to go. All right. No, so this is like another one we had. Remember last week we had, is Mindy related to?
Oh God.
Who was it?
I wasn't here.
JonBenet Ramsey.
JonBenet Ramsey. Yeah.
So this one is, I don't know this guy. Is Mindy related to financial advisor Dave Ramsey?
Oh, I don't know that.
Mike from Hanover Township.
Probably not.
Also not related to Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay.
We might as well clear that up as long as we're here.
So the name Ramsey must be fairly common just because it's the last name. Maybe this will start a new trend.
They're not related.
No.
She does look like JonBenet Ramsey. That's all I'm saying.
They could be relatives. Even though
they both have like the cute.
You'd have to do like age progression. and then they look exactly alike and be like, oh, shoot.
Even though Mindy's actual last name is not Ramsey, that's her married name. So she wouldn't be related.
But if you put that cute little dance outfit on her, it would just look like like JonBenet. You know what I mean?
Just like her.
With the big eyelashes and the hat and everything. Could we do a side by side? Let's not.
Go ahead, Nikki.
All right. Mike from Hanover Township. Ever since the Wilkes-Barre tornado in 2018, sometimes I get anxiety in the warm months when we get tornado watches and warnings. Could I be overreacting as the watches and warnings seem to occur more often than the actual tornado? Or am I justified in my heightened sense of weather awareness?
Whoa. This is a weather question.
Yeah.
I'd say he's right on two aspects. Number one, because we have a warming earth. And more warmth means more moisture, and that means more energy to make storms. There is an uptick in severe weather since the 70s. That's a fact. But also the National Weather Service and people like us and WNEP and all media outlets, everything's over the top anymore. So everything is going to be a watch, a warning, and hey, be on guard. So heightened sensitivity is just a part of society now. Facebook, social media, it's everywhere.
It's hard not to.
It's hard not. So you're – back in the 60s and 70s, I was around in the 70s as a teenager. It seems like there was nothing. Double negative.
When
you
can speak to this meteorologically, before the National Weather Service, when they would issue tornado watches and warnings, the watch was if conditions were ripe for a tornado. But a warning almost had to be someone saw.
Did the threshold change? I don't know. You are correct.
Because I remember when they changed a bit and said this is radar indicated that it could be there.
Well, that's a very valid point you make. In the 60s and even into the 70s, there weren't a lot of radar installations like there are now. Keep in mind, radar wasn't created until the 50s and 60s. So if this dude is remembering way back when he was a kid, 60s and 70s, warnings weren't a thing. So everything is now heightened sense of security. We have more information, more data. But should you be and feel anxiety over all this? I don't know. It's hard not to. You can't stop anxiety.
But at the same time, I do – the way I look
put
at
it in perspective.
Is we live in a place where, yes, tornadoes can happen, but they certainly don't happen like we see in the Midwest and places like that. You can get damage from storms. There's severe weather, of course, but we are pretty fortunate that we're not going to have many of the community leveling tornadoes.
Unless I forget,
like
something the size of a nor'easter or a hurricane is an entire state or region of the country. A tornado has a swath usually as wide as a street. You know what I mean? And it will exist for just a few hundred yards.
So the odds are pretty low.
Very low, yeah, that you will be affected by a tornado. But hey, put everything in perspective.
That was an interesting question and conversation.
It was just a more carefree world in the past. My dad, I told you guys this before, his Sunday afternoon activity for my brother and me, we would drive around. This was probably in the early 70s. No one had seatbelts on. We were in the back seat, and he would go really fast on country roads, and he was smoking in the car, so the whole car is filled with smoke. My brother and I were in the back, and he would go really fast over humps in the road, and we would feel zero G. Picture this scene, though.
And you think of that happening now.
Think about that, 1971 or two, my dad flying over a highway, you know, a back road, country road. Oh, here we go, kids. Woo, zero G. He's smoking. There's no seatbelts on. We're going, woo! Dad, that was awesome.
That sounds fun.
It is. When you think of that, how different it was. And, like, we'd go on a trip in a station wagon, and my brother and I would be crawling into the trunk and stuff. We didn't have a seatbelt on.
Yep.
Wild.
Now, would you like to try the zero-G smoking thing with your kids on your way to Philly? You're going to Philly today, aren't you?
We'll give it a try. Maybe without the smoke. All right.
And the seatbelt's on. You'll still get a little zero-G effect if you go over the right hump in the car.
I have done that with the kids.
Yeah. Not smoking.
Just small ones.
Not smoking.
All right. Let's see.
Filterless Pall Malls, too.
Is that what it was?
That's what he was smoking.
I love that Carrie keeps it real and sometimes gives Joe attitude and dismisses his comments as annoying, bickers with him, etc. Is she like this with everyone, or is Snetty the only one who annoys her? This is Kim from Shahola. We don't know because Carrie's not here to ask.
Yeah, but how do you describe her? You know.
And Carrie's, I mean, she's just playful and having fun.
Yeah, she's like that. She's the opposite of uptight or pretentious. You know.
Yeah,
she's the
Carrie's great. She's and one of my good friends.
And when she's doing this to Joe, it's just having fun.
It's having fun because she knows it doesn't bother me, and I know you can say anything. She's one of those people you can say anything to her, and she's never going to go to
HR.
She's not offended. And she's never going to be offended.
Never going to be offended. So she's as cool as cool can be.
Yeah.
So laid back.
Who's the opposite of that, do you think, here at WNEP? Just kidding. Look at everybody. I'm just trying to make it comfortable.
Nikki. I walk in the room and she's like, HR.
Carrie, by the way, does she still act? You would know. She used to be in theater, act, does plays, a thespian.
Yeah, I don't know if she's done it lately.
Yeah, she's just very outgoing and fun and, you know, like I said.
Yeah, she likes to have a good time.
She likes to have a good time. What do you two, like your buddies, you go, what do you do? Like when it's a girl night, where are you going to go?
We'll go out for dinner, drinks.
Boring.
Fun.
I thought you'd go to like the racetrack, or maybe you'd go.
The racetrack.
Maybe put the house on the color red at the casino.
We've been to the casino before.
Okay, Sean, why'd you throw this?
It's a rant. It's not even a question.
Oh, we don't like rants.
I like this one.
It's like six paragraphs long. It's a rant.
No. I'm going to read this
one. I want to answer a question. You can have it next.
The one you threw away, I'm going to read. Like it.
Whatever happened to Eugene, the yellow stick figure Joe used to draw on the weather maps?
That's a great question.
You guys don't remember that, do you?
Yes.
I remember Eugene. Definitely. Oh my God. He had his own email account.
What?
He did have his own. When I first started here, we had a very simplistic computer. You know how I use graphics of people and heads and vacuum cleaners? All we can do is draw with... Like a
telestrator.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Very primitive paint program. So I would put, to make things exciting, a little stick figure on there. And the character was called Eugene. Because one day I remember I had him holding an axe, and it was representing cold air coming in. So, and then I had the graphic, careful with that axe, Eugene, because that's the title of a Pink Floyd album.
That's right. And it just stuck.
So that just stuck. Yeah, so
I didn't know where the name came from.
I got that from a Pink Floyd album or song. I'm not sure if it's an album or song. And then we got better computers, and Eugene. I still use a little stick figure now and then.
But I started here 21 years ago, and you were using Eugene. Yeah.
I was using Eugene. So that year was what? When was that?
That would have been 03.
Oh, so he must have died right around
there. You were mixing in photos and stuff then. You were definitely able to put photos on your graph, but Eugene was still a face. And like a popular character. Like everyone knew Eugene.
Maybe he needs to come back.
maybe I got too advanced with all these fancy graphics.
People miss Eugene.
Keep it simple.
Maybe.
Nah.
The one that Sean did not want
to. Oh, make. Here we go.
Okay.
I thought we did this one before. What's the deal with the weather impact alert days? This is perfect. Whenever I see the entire WDP team using new buzzwords, I try to figure out where they came from. So a few months ago, practically overnight, not only did WNEP, but broadcasters across the country, and I've noticed this, started using weather impact alerts. Once again, I got curious. Where does it come from and why? Who is forcing you to use it? I can see a glimmer in Joe's eyes dim every time he has to use it. Isn't every day a weather impact alert for someone? Sunny days impact umbrella sales. It's falling deep. Rainy days impact folks at Banana Boat who are making sunscreen and so on. I know it's not guys that are trying to scare everyone with this new catchphrase. So who is it? Jim Thorpe. That's Mike.
Oh, I thought it was actually Jim Thorpe who sent the question.
No. It could be, but he passed away. So look at the silence. It's a corporate thing.
Oh, yeah. You do have a dim in your eye when you have to talk.
I see the purpose of it, but it's a corporate thing. And Tegna owns how many stations? They own us and they own
70.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's over, lots. It's over 50, I think.
Yes.
So this guy may have seen someone at corporate at Tegna said, let's alert the public on our 7-day forecast as to events that are going to grab people's attention in the future. We're going to give them an early indication. It could be snow. It could be extreme heat, extreme cold, anything that's going to have an impact on their life. Let's alert them. And we'll call it a weather impact alert. And then we'll have that piece of the 7-day colored red. So how does that come off, Nikki? Does it come off as like gimmicky? I don't know. But it's a corporate thing and we have to do it. It's not that I don't want to do it. I have a natural, what is it? A natural like
disdain.
Maybe just an aversion.
My personality just is anti a lot of things, and I don't know why. So it's a good thing I go along with it. I don't necessarily like it, but I think it's all right. What do you think?
I think when I see something in red, it makes me take a second look at it.
So the danger is that it comes off as fear-mongering, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think it's the use. I think it's how you use it.
Right, but if you overuse it, then it's like, oh, yeah, more red.
Well, that's the problem you might run into.
I mean, we see it in all of media, is that there's a lot of things that get hyped or overhyped.
Yeah.
I'd like to think here we don't overhype. I don't think we overhype the weather. I look at it when you show the graphic and it has red. Okay, I look at the 7-day forecast.
You pay more attention.
There's a day that something's coming. Something's going to happen that day that I should pay attention to.
Yeah.
So I can see that.
That it has a use.
And I could also see there's probably stations in the country that are using this. And it's not just Tegna. These weather – all the different broadcast groups have different names for it. Something happened. Maybe one of them did it and the other companies like it. It's all over the place. Yeah. Weather impact alert, weather
it's
alert.
It's all over the place.
They're all over the place. All different ownership of stations, they're all doing it. And so obviously some stations are going to go way overboard on those things. But we see that happen on lots of different levels of hyping things or not hyping
things. It's everywhere in the commercial industry. When you buy Lucky Charms, new marshmallow flavor. You know, everything is just hyped. It sells. I don't know. What are you going to do? We're a capitalistic society.
It's the way the world works.
Yeah. When Nikki bought her, what was that, tornado thing? Blender? What is it?
The Ninja. Nutribullet.
The Ninja Bullet?
Yeah.
I bet you there was a big red star on the package and it said, nutrition.
Yeah.
Fortified.
Easy.
Make vegetables. Balance your diet. $49.99. 10% off.
She's reading intently.
She's scaring me now. She's giving me that question, the look that my wife gives me sometimes. It's like.
Well, there's two questions.
You want to throw it away and move on like Sean?
Give it to Joe.
Nikki, we can't have silence. Yeah, Joe will read it.
Hi, Joe. Does daylight get added or subtracted at the same exact rate all year, or are there certain months when it is accelerated? For example,
this is a great question.
After the December 21st solstice, might a straight 1 minute of daylight get added each day, every day, until the next solstice? Or are there certain months where maybe 3 minutes or 5 minutes per day?
This is an awesome question.
I love this
question. But my fear is that now, if I properly explain this, everyone's going to be bored and they're going to stop listening.
Well, the challenge for you is to make us interested.
Do you want me to read the observation?
I need diagrams and charts, but the quick answer is, heck no, it's not the same. Because the Earth goes around the sun in an ellipse, there are times in the winter when we're moving very fast, and there are times in the summer, 6 months later, we're moving relatively slow. So even though the Earth makes one complete rotation in 24 hours, it's moving while it's rotating. I don't know if you can follow that. So now in the summer, when we're far away and we're moving very slowly, in one 24-hour period, you don't have to compensate for the change. But in the winter, when we're moving really fast to the sun, we're spinning so at the same speed, but we're moving so much relative to the sun, you have to compensate for that movement. So the length of the day does change, and it doesn't increase by a minute or day all year round. Sometimes it's minute, 2 minutes. It's 3, almost 4 minutes at times during the year. So it does change from day to day. It all depends where we are in our orbit around the sun. I'm sorry if I bored you, but you need charts to really explain this.
You know what's interesting? Something that I have noticed being on this shift. So every morning, we have certain times during the newscast where we, as we say, let's take a look outside. Joe's next with the forecast. Let's see what it's like outside right now. And yeah, we show it, and it's always the same times of day. And I notice the change in daylight so dramatically because of that.
Okay.
Mm. We go at 6:14, we're taking a look outside, and now we're starting to see dramatically the past week light starting to feed into, like, it's more like and the 6:20, it's more like the 6:40-ish.
That's when you notice it.
We're starting to see light. And sometimes a year it goes really fast that it starts getting light so much more.
That
so
happens
quick
in the late winter, early spring.
And then it slows down.
In the summer, because we're farther from the sun and we move slower.
Yeah. And yeah, you totally notice it.
It's a big deal.
And people that have things at certain schedules, like I take the kids to certain things during the week at 5 p.m. It's so much different right now at 5 p.m. than it was a month ago. You notice it's dramatically lighter. So
this is a life-altering experience. Yeah, these are great questions. See, we get the fun, we get the silly. How many more do we have here? We get the serious.
Where are we at?
Where are we at? How many minutes?
I have to go soon because I have to go to a luncheon.
Oh, Sean, listen to him. He's got to leave us and go to his little luncheon.
I'm kind of a big deal.
This person also called Carrie a female Jack Culkin, which is an old soul. Not a compliment, just an observation.
Wait a minute. Why isn't it a compliment?
No, because we don't accept compliments.
So it doesn't fall under the compliment birds French word derivative.
Oh my gosh, she knows the rules.
Yeah, the rules.
Yes.
Joe forgot the rules.
So wait, is Carrie an old soul? And what is Jack called? What makes someone an old soul? Just like
Jack's an old soul.
Jack's an old soul.
He actually said that to me when I first met him, that his friends always call him an old soul.
Meaning what? Old school ways?
Just that he
thinks the things deeply, appreciates everything.
Yeah.
Mature.
Maturity level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mustache.
I don't know if Carrie is, though.
I don't know if she would qualify as an old soul.
All right.
Although she is in her 40s, so she's just old.
Watch yourself.
Hey, I'm 58. I can say whatever I want.
This guy says, Joe, leave poor Mindy alone in her puzzles. I saw a Godzilla versus Kong puzzle at FYE in the Wyoming Valley Mall. What? You're a Godzilla fan like I am. Maybe that'll get you interested in puzzles. Just a thought. Mike in Hanover Township.
I'm not going to take that back. Here's my philosophy in life, and it doesn't always work. And I try to do
at
this.
At least you disclaimer that doesn't always work.
Well, because I think it makes so much sense, but yet... All right. No one on their deathbed ever said, I wish I did more puzzles. So I treat life like you're on a vacation, like you got maybe a week in Hawaii, you got to make the most of every second. So when I see someone doing a puzzle, I'm like, what are you doing? You're here for 78 years on this planet and then you're dead forever. Don't you have something better to do than a puzzle? That's just how I feel. Now, I know I do a lot of things and I'm like, geez, if I was on my deathbed, I wouldn't say I'd be doing this. So it doesn't always work, but I feel like puzzles, you're just wasting time. What's the purpose?
But some people really like puzzles.
So there's,
and they find it fun.
It's exercising your brain.
Yeah. Is
it? I will say about puzzles, like, I think it's better for someone to do a puzzle than just sit and watch TV.
Yeah. I think it's the same.
You think it's the
same? Arnold Schwarzenegger wrote a book, and it's called Be Useful. at every time in your life, just be useful. I bet you the puzzle Mindy, maybe she could have folded laundry. She could have painted her closet. She could have vacuumed her car.
Cooked dinner.
Let's just be useful. She could have volunteered at the home. Just be useful. Puzzle's not being useful.
At least that's what he thinks.
That's me.
He's never going to change with this topic.
I'm going to get off my soapbox. I just don't understand that. Be useful. Puzzle, you're killing time. Here's Mindy on her deathbed. I wish I did more bird puzzles.
Here's another are they related question.
Be our new topic. Are they
just
related?
Listen to the podcast with Valeria Quinones. I can't believe no one asked her if she's related to John Quinones on ABC's What Would You Do? Is she related?
We don't know.
I don't know. I never asked.
Let's end with this because that show makes me nervous. I want to watch it, but
you're afraid you'll be the person.
No,
that does
I it. Just it makes me it stresses me out. Does it stress you guys? Out?
Stresses you out because you'll think if you were there, you would have been that person.
I don't know
for not helping.
Maybe
I
all the characters there stress me out.
I can't watch a scenario where someone's going to maybe embarrass themselves awkward situation. And that is the worst scenario, that these people are being tricked into thinking something's happened to see what they would do.
So you're
I can't
same,
watch
right?
a second of it.
You're the same.
It makes
it's
me
awkward.
So uncomfortable.
Yeah, see, it's the same
the
with me.
The commercials come on during the news in the morning, and I have to look away. I can't even look at the commercial with this John Quinones and What Would You Do?
So we're the same with this.
That we are. I can't handle that kind of show. I don't like awkward humor, like those where it's a kind of the embarrassing scenario. But yeah, his stuff. Some people love it and watch it. It does well. It's been on for a long time.
Yeah, if I would be in that situation, I'm not one who normally steps in situations. Just because.
So do you like the show though?
Sometimes.
So you can watch it. Yeah, good for you.
I can watch it.
I think it comes off too black and white. Like,
yeah,
there may be a reason someone didn't step in. There
right.
May be a maybe they
oh,
stepped in the
good
past.
Good point. Yeah. I never thought of that angle.
Right.
You don't really know. I think that's the issue is that it's people watching. It's very much, I can't believe they didn't help. But there may be a reason.
You're right.
It doesn't make that person
a
bad
nowadays,
person.
Yeah. It's do you really want to step in?
Right.
Well, maybe we should. I'm going to end this by telling Nikki something. This whole podcast was an act because
come on in, John.
Well, it's even better than that. Your boyfriend asked me to, in this brown bag, put a diamond ring.
Oh!
Go ahead, pick it out, and then
you didn't dig deep enough.
You didn't dig deep enough. You were.
What would you do?
All right, I just made that up. But you want that?
Oh, all right. Yeah.
This is all getting too awkward.
Zero hesitation.
John doesn't like awkward.
I don't like awkward. We got to go.
We'll get you next time, folks. Keep the questions coming. brownbag@wnep.com. Nikki, it's in there. Come on, pick it out. The diamond ring.
She dives in.
Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything. Mr. Curiosity.